It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
A shooting spree broke out around 8:45 last night, just as protesters were wrapping up their event in downtown Dallas. 11 officers, both with Dallas police and DART, were hit. 5 have since died. Others are critical and in surgery. Now, eyewitnesses described the pandemonium as people literally scattered in every direction, not knowing where the shots were coming from. Listen.
Man, like all of the cops were getting shot, man. I just saw cops bending over, man. Like it had to have been like 5 or 6 cops, like they was all getting shot down. It was right after the rally, like we were just walking to the car, man, all the cops.
And then there is this video put out by the Associated Press, which shows a man with a rifle hiding behind a concrete pillar and shooting. Police have characterized this as a sniper-style attack. It's believed the man in this video, in that parking garage, is the suspect who took his own life. 3 other suspects in custody at this hour, a woman and 2 men who are being questioned by Dallas police as we speak.
Sandy Rios with you, and I'm sure that if you haven't heard that yet, then this is what you're going to be hearing about all day. We were going to talk about Hillary Clinton and James Comey, and we'll touch on that, but oh my goodness, the loss of life. Last night in Dallas, 5 policemen killed, some of them fighting for their lives even as we speak, 11 of them shot, targeted by 4 shooters, a demonstration against the killing, of 2 black men, one in Minnesota, one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We don't know the details of that, but this is a response to that, and it's a demonstration. And so suddenly, police are targeted and murdered in Dallas last night. Well, it just so happens that J. Christian Adams was going to be our guest this morning. He's a former lawyer from the Justice Department in the Civil Rights Division. He's also the best-selling author of Injustice. He's PJ Media legal editor. And this really, sadly, is his bailiwick. Christian, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Sandy.
Christian, do you know anything more about the details that I may have left out? And then I want to talk about who is behind this.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have anything to add to the details, other than it's like so many of us probably experienced waking up today.
Well, there's a lot being said now in speculation. In fact, well, let me just say this. The Dallas police are saying, reporting, that the people, they have 3 in custody, 3 shooters in custody, one of them killed himself, and they're saying that they're being very quiet. They're not really talking much. What do you think's going on? There's no way of knowing until we hear from them, but what are the possibilities, Christian, of who's behind this?
Well, look, I mean, what we do know is it was coordinated. So it takes a level of planning. That doesn't tell you necessarily who it was, but I can tell you that, and you may have seen some of this morning, that organizations like the New Black Panthers have been calling for the assassination of police officers, and there's a video that I've wrote about in my book, and it's online, you can watch it, called Training Day, where they actually do a lecture on how to do it, hiding in concealed locations to murder police officers with AK-47s. Now, did the New Black Panthers do this in Dallas? I don't know. I do know they're very active in Dallas, but we'll find out eventually who did this.
Yeah, actually, I'm just sending I'm going to have Adam. I just got this from you, this video, and we're going to put that on our Facebook page so people can watch it. The other thing that I'm reading, Christian, of course, I don't think I've even talked about this yet on the air, but the Soros Foundation, Open Society, we know that George Soros, the Hungarian atheist billionaire, has been funding most of the leftist causes in this country, including Black Lives Matter. So that's where some of this funding is likely coming from. Also, this morning I got an article out of USA Today talking about how Palestinian protesters have been cooperating with Black Lives Matter. So it really is a mix, isn't it? A potential mix.
It's classic front group agitprop that goes back to a model that was started in the 40s and 50s by other enemies of America to basically fund and organize front groups to destabilize, to attempt to undermine the moral authority of the nation, to sow dissent, to create chaos, as we saw in the streets of Chicago in 1968. This is not an accident, folks. You need to realize that. This is not some sort of unhinged jerk who did this. This is a coordinated, deliberate strategy to destabilize the moral authority of the United States using the cloak of race. And this is nothing new either. I mean, this has been going on for years in this country, but that's what this is.
Yes, I think that point needs to be made. Christian, it isn't about race. I know, just from the reaction of some of the crowds last night, some of the people that were part of the protests, they are genuinely and rightfully concerned about what's happening with police in the Black community. And so many of them are out there protesting. They have no idea. It is like the protest of the 60s where people went, no war, no more, make love, not war, marching, not understanding that they are being stirred into a frenzy by people who are thinking about how to undermine and destroy the very fabric of this country. That's what's driving this. And again, it has nothing to do with race. They're using race. They're using anything they can, Islamophobia, homophobia, whatever, to stir up dissension and destruction. And they're being very successful, I have to say.
Yeah, they're also evil. I mean, let's not lose sight of this. This is an extension of spiritual warfare. This is what it looks like on the streets when when sinister elements act. This is not temptation. This is action by the sinister. And we can't lose sight of that, this is playing out in a way that we have not seen in this country for a very long time, where the divisive, the evil, the wicked, intellectually corrosive, mind you, this is not just a random shooter. These are people who are attempting to tear at the fabric of the country. It's not just a gangster who goes out and murders on the streets. This is a deliberate effort to rip apart the moral authority of this country. It's something far more dangerous than we've encountered in this country for a while.
And Christian, since you said, framed it the way you did, I just have to say, this is what's been going on in my heart as I've been praying about this morning. The Bible, interestingly enough, talks about the spirit of lawlessness in the last days. And whatever's happening, they refer to a man of lawlessness. Lawlessness, the total breakdown in the fabric of society, total chaos, driven by something very evil. And I do think we are seeing that firsthand. All right, I think I'm going to have to move on to this next subject. Oh, I have to ask you one more question. Because you were part of the Civil Rights Division, you left the DOJ on a matter of principle because you were prosecuting the Black Lives Panther. Oh gosh, I can't even talk. Black Panthers.
It's okay, you can morph them together.
Yeah, thank you. I may have to. I'm just trying to save time here. The new Black Panther for intimidating outside of a polling place. That was your case, and because the DOJ dropped the charges under Eric Holder, you resigned. And that's how we got to know you, Christian. So now the DOJ is rushing. The Department of Civil Rights is rushing to Minnesota, I believe also to Baton Rouge, to investigate the shooting of these two Black men, two more incidents in the last couple of days here. Will they rush to Dallas?
Not for anything good. I mean, Obama called the shooting in Dallas today a calculated and despicable attack on law enforcement. Well, I think that's exactly the same sort of thing his Justice Department has been engaged in. Not using weapons, of course, but using the power of the federal government to engage in a despicable and calculated attack on law enforcement for the last 7 years. And so, no, I don't think he's going to rush to Dallas, not to do anything good, at least.
Christian, before we have our time, by the way, Jeff, hold this break just a little bit here because I want to make sure we complete our thoughts because something really big did happen on Capitol Hill yesterday. And, you know, lawlessness comes in many different forms. It can be violent on the streets. It can be in the halls of Congress where people are not held accountable. And Christian, as James Comey, the director of the FBI, was being grilled by Republicans and Democrats alike in the House yesterday, I really do want to know, as an attorney, what you thought. There's a lot to say about it, of course, but if it's possible to boil it down, what do you think? That was a worthy exercise? Do you think it was effective?
Well, I now think it was worthy because Comey said something very important. The most two important words he spoke during that hearing were grave concerns. Sandy, he said that the Justice Department expressed grave concerns about prosecuting under this particular statute, the gross negligence statute. That tells me that this was a Justice Department-driven non-prosecution decision. This was not an FBI decision, no matter how much James Comey tries to take the blame for it. This was a DOJ decision to not prosecute Hillary. Comey said so, even if he didn't say it explicitly. He said it was DOJ had grave concerns about going forward. That tells me this is back in Loretta Lynch's lap.
So you are saying that somehow, even though he said he did not discuss this with DOJ, he basically said words to that effect. I didn't discuss my decision, something like that. Of course, you know, somebody else could have discussed it with him and reported back to him. You know,
that's
I
right.
mean, yeah. So you're saying that they sent the signal to him, we're not doing this.
Yeah, don't forget, the Justice Department is constantly in communication with FBI investigators. There's give and take during the entire investigation. It isn't like they wait till the very end to tell them what they think. This is a ongoing communicative process. And so DOJ apparently was sending the signal all along that they didn't want to bring this case. That's the takeaway from the Comey hearings yesterday, is this is a DOJ decision. It's not an FBI decision, and people need to focus on the rotted corruption and political law enforcement at DOJ.
Of which you know a lot about. That's what you wrote your book about, I should say. Because I've tossed it aside, Christian. Oh, your book is called Injustice, where you tell the story of what's happening. You could write a sequel now, couldn't you?
I could. I don't have time.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, Christian, I really appreciate you joining us this morning, and let me just recommend anything that Christian writes anytime. I'm sure you see him on Fox a lot. His commentary is worthy of your consideration because Christian has put his own career and life on the line to speak the truth. That's why I think so much of him. PJ Media is where he writes. He's the legal editor. And Christian, thank you. I really do appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy. You have a great day.
Okay, you too. All right, now we're going to take that break. Oh, gosh, look at me. I got even finished quickly. Let's go ahead and break, though, Jeff, because I want to go to email and Facebook today. We have a lot of it, and I know you have a lot of comments. In fact, we're going to open the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. It's a good day for us to talk, don't you think? And for those of you down in Dallas, I'm sure you have things that you want to say. And please know that we are praying for you. We are praying for you. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we'll visit on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is the United States Marine Corps Memorial, also known as the Iwo Jima Memorial, built in 1954 and the largest bronze statue in the world. Stephen McDowell, who's the president of the Providence Foundation, a historian, will join us all along the way, answer questions, talk about the people, the places, and the events in our nation's capital, and then on to Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. In addition, we'll go to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to join us for this separate trip, which just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour. For all the information on either of these tours, just visit us on the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, this is in September. Go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
The signs of America's cultural decay are everywhere. Take the issue of religious liberty as an example. The First Amendment to the Constitution guaranteed Americans freedom of religion. Later, someone introduced the concept of freedom from religion, and the more limiting phrase, freedom of worship, became popular, implying we need to keep our freedom inside the church. With your help, the American Family Association stands against such subtle revisions. Our most recent efforts to spread the voice of Christian America include an expansion of the American Family Radio Network into 8 more cities with the potential for 2.5 million new listeners. Also, American Family Studios has begun production on a new feature-length documentary, The God Who Speaks, Reaffirming Biblical Authority. The cost is high, but standing by and doing nothing could cost us even more. Pray today and be listening Tuesday, July 12th for more information, because America cannot wait.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Big day on Capitol Hill, folks. FBI Director James Comey was grilled over his recommendation not to press charges against Hillary Clinton. Quite a bit of political showmanship on both sides of the aisle, but I doubt it'll amount to much. Although I was intrigued by one line of questioning that involved Mrs. Clinton's sophistication and whether she truly understood what the letter C meant on classified documents.
I think it's possible, that she didn't understand what a C meant when she saw it in the body of an email like that.
What did she think it meant? Cracker Jack? I mean, you would have to be as dumb as a doorknob not to know something like that. Is that what the FBI director's trying to tell us? That the presumptive Democratic nominee for president has the intelligence level of an amoeba? Sweet mercy, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We still don't know all the facts. What we do know is that there has been a vicious, calculated, and despicable attack on law enforcement. We also know that when people are armed with powerful weapons, unfortunately, it makes attacks like these more deadly and more tragic. And in the days ahead, we're going to have to consider those realities as well.
You know, that was the president talking about Dallas, and what you may not know, which I, you know, how can you possibly keep track of all these things? You know, it's an effort for me this morning, honestly, to keep on top of this and make sure I give you the best information in a timely fashion. So have patience, because I'm trying to do that. I want to read to you something that just came in my inbox. This is part of Christian's book that we talked about, where he covered the new Black Panthers. And he describes, I don't know what the year of this was. I think he wrote his book probably 3 years ago, something like that, although I'm not sure about that either. But this is an event that he's describing, which included Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Listen to it. Obama made his way from the chapel to a huge crowd waiting outside. Obama and other notables, including Hillary Clinton and Al Sharpton, addressed the crowd from a portable podium at the top of the chapel's entryway stairs. The speakers were all people who one would expect to hear at this kind of high-profile event, with one exception. New Black Panther Party Chief Malik Zulu Shabazz, a former defendant in a DOG voter intimidation lawsuit. He was flanked at the podium by several Panthers in full Panther battle regalia, black fatigues, beret, insignia, and boots. One of them was Panther Field Marshal Najee Muhammad, who was seen in a Panther video called Training Day. in which he encourages blacks in DeKalb County, Georgia, to don ski masks, lie in wait behind shrubs, and kill police officers with AK-47s. Following that exhortation, he mocks the hypothetical victim's grieving widows. Now, that's in the video that we, if Adam hasn't posted it yet, he will. It's called Training Day. It's a new Black Panther video. And the point I'm trying to make is that our president and the current hopeful, Democratic hopeful, I don't know what you want to say, appeared at an event happily with new Black Panther leadership, even given the training video that you're going to see where they're training them to do violence. And now, keep in mind that I said earlier, and I will repeat, this, I don't believe that the dangers we face are directly related to race in any way. They are, as much as black men are involved in the new Black Panthers and training to kill policemen, that they are black and they are evil. But we have Palestinian activists partnering with Black Lives Matter. We have the very white George Soros, who's an Hungarian billionaire, American citizen now, who has spent millions of dollars to try to undermine and destroy this country, pouring millions into the Black Lives Matter movement and many, many other entities. This has nothing to do with race. This is evil across the spectrum of race. You know, there are immigrants, not immigrants, but illegal immigrant movements, the left evil wing of that, also involved in this. And they are coalescing along with the American Communist Party USA, Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, the Weather Underground. Oh, how I wish I could find for you. I think it's been scrubbed. I don't know where it is anymore. I played this when I was in Chicago. Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. This was a PBS special back in the 80s that I remembered seeing. And I asked my producer, Guy Benson, at the time to locate this video because I remembered it. That tracks the Weather Underground. And you hear Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers talking about their desire to violently overthrow the United States of America. Kill the pigs, said Bernadine Dorn, meaning the police. It is the same dark-hearted, evil movement that we're talking about today. It isn't about race. It's about evil in the hearts of men and women, regardless of cover. Color. And this is what we're fighting. It's a spirit of lawlessness. And so, all right, I have a lot more things I want to say, but I want to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Freddie in Houston. Good morning, Freddie.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. I mean, personally good. Not so good with the news. Actually, I'm almost about to cry, Freddie. It bothers me. You know, people are dead. You know, it bothers me about what happened in Minnesota. It bothers me about what happened in Louisiana. You know, it's death and destruction. Yeah. Anyway, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, you know, coming from, I'm from Mexico City. I'm an immigrant, too. I came to the United States and became a citizen about 3 years ago. I love this country since I came to the United States. Why? Because it's peaceful. It's a place where you can make a living. It's a place where you can go to the cops and... You know, they're not going to kill you just because, or they're not going to steal from you, which in our countries, in Latin America or other countries, we don't even trust our own government. But the problem is that I see that happening now here, and it breaks my heart big time because I know that what that's doing to this country is destroying it inside out. I would love to be able to do whatever I can, but, you know, I'm trying to raise my kids Christian, and I'm raising them up in the middle of this society that's breaking apart. And just listening to what you just say about the gentleman, the guy that's the leader of the new Black Panther movement, he being an immigrant, that's the type of immigrants that we don't need in this country. When they moved me and my family to this country, we knew that when we come here, we have to learn to be Americans. Whatever we were in Mexico, states in Mexico. When we move here, this is American. You have to respect the laws. You have to respect more than anything, the moral views. But you have people moving from other countries. You have liberals from this country that are changing their lives and becoming worse than what we have in our own countries.
Yeah.
It's saddening to see that the own American people want to move to other countries now because they see their country being torn apart, not just by immigration, but by the hand of their government. And it is saddening. You know, it's really, really, really sad. I mean, I can tell you as a child, I saw police being lynched in Mexico. That's how much no respect there is for the police officers. But now over here, I see that we're about to start doing the same thing, and that's really sad.
It is, Freddie. It's going to be a terrible price that we're all going to have to pay. And honestly, your eloquence, I just sat back and let you talk because your words wash over us just because they are their truth. We know they're true. And when we talk about illegal immigration and we talk about immigrants, we're not talking about people like you who come to this country and want to be citizens and want to become Americans and want to build a country. You know, you're Christian, so you know that there's a, oh, I can't even remember the passage, but it's the Jews who are in another land are instructed to build up, seek the welfare of your country, you know, work hard, you know, plant vineyards, build into the welfare of the country where you are. And that's a scriptural principle, and that's certainly what you've done, Freddie. And it is true that a lot of, they're importing because our borders are open and wide, and our leadership is lawless now. They are importing the lawlessness from countries like where you just left. And I just hope it's really clear to people, because I would say this, Freddie. We're being held by a tenuous thread. Speaking physically, we have a great God, a great and mighty God. There is nothing he can't do. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we know that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And we know that our job is to live faithfully in the generation in which we are born, and to do what we know is right each and every day and each and every moment to advance the kingdom, but also to preserve order and make it possible for our neighbors to live in peace, to protect their children as well as ours. And so we're going to be doing that, and we're not afraid, because we know that if our lives are lost, we know where we'll be. We will be forever with the Lord in heaven. And so we don't do this out of fear, but we are sad to see what's happening to our country. And Freddie, you've given us great perspective, and I really appreciate your call. All right, let's go to James, because he's in Dallas. Good morning, James. How are you?
Hey, man, how you doing? Can you hear me?
A little bit. If you can get a little bit better, if you can pull over and use your headset, not use your Bluetooth, that would be helpful. But just be careful.
Okay. No problem. Let me just hit you with this real quick. Basically, one thing I wanted to say is, Sandy, how do we hold the DOJ accountable? I mean, we need to essentially go after them if they're the problem. I'm not saying Comey isn't the problem. He very well may be. But we need to figure out how to get after Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder and anyone else who's corrupt in this DOJ, because they're coming after the Christians and they're coming against everything that we believe in, to the point where we're going to have to fight even physically at some point, I fear. I mean, I'm not living in fear. I don't mean it like that. It's just history repeats itself, so... and I've been through, my family has been in the military for, you know, most of my life. So, and I'm three generations of the military. So I'm just being real with it. But, I pray in Jesus' name, the Lord watches over us and that it never comes to that. But we may definitely have to defend our own before this is said and done. But my main point, once again, is how do we go after the DOJ?
Well, here's the thing, James. The only way to go after the DOJ, the Department of Justice, is an extension of the executive branch. They work at the behest of the President of the United States. And so as long as Barack Obama is president and has appointed Eric Holder, who was lawless, and then subsequently appointed Loretta Lynch, who continues in that, and they have hired hundreds and hundreds of attorneys for DOJ that are leftist, their resumes read like a page out of a frightening novel, honestly. That's something that Christian Adams and I have talked about a lot. Christian has written about this a lot. And as long as you have a Congress who is led by men like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, who are not fighters, they're not fighters. They're not willing to fight. They're just holding, praying, you know, that things will get better. But they are not men who are wired to fight. They don't even seem to know how to. And as long as the leaders on the other side are as weak as they are, and they are, and they have pretty much let Barack Obama do whatever he wants, they have expedited the lawlessness. They have written it into law. They have funded it. Then our recourse in the process is we have no recourse. The only recourse we have is in the ballot in November. And I believe that's why I say that this election may be our last. I'm just saying. It is not business as usual. I got an email from a gentleman this morning that I was going to read. Oh, Sandy, why don't you consider, you know, the third party, this candidate who's a great guy, whose name I don't remember right offhand because I've never heard of it before. Are you kidding me? What planet are people living on? Any of you who think that at this point you can scrape up a third party candidate and somehow turn this around? We must deal with what we have before us and make the best decision that we can make. James, I'm sure that's not the answer you want, but all I can say is get out the vote in November, because the left will absolutely assault us with voter fraud, cheating, illegal immigrant voting, whatever, violence in the polls, intimidation, whatever they have to do. But we still have enough numbers, loyal Americans, to prevail in the polls if we can get out there and vote. So please, I'm begging all of you, you have to vote. You have to vote. Do not think that you're doing something righteous by staying home. Don't think that you are, that you're just too, you know, it's an untouchable. You can't vote for it's just, you must vote for the person that you think could possibly bring some order back into this chaos. And if you stay home, then, brother, when your kids, they come after your children, or they come after you, or you lose your job, or you are investigated. By the way, Kim Davis, our clerk in Kentucky now, the news this morning, I was going to read this to you later, too. They're coming after her again, saying that she violated some law. So they're not done with her either. They're coming after us. They're coming after our churches, our pastors. They're coming after conservative organizations. They're coming after your savings, your Social Security, your 501c3s, whatever you have left that would make you independent. They're going to come after it. I'm telling you, we are at this point. And so I'm begging you, please vote in November. If we make it to November, God, I pray that we do. I'm reading this morning about what the left is strategizing for 2016 in the RNC. It is unbelievable what I'm reading. I'll just... And by the way, James, I'll let you go, but thank you for that question. Sorry about the answer. Let me just read to you. This is from an article called The Left's Strategy for the RNC 2016, Violence and Chaos. And here is just a piece from the Workers' World Party, because the communists are in the middle of this chaos, too. It says, Trump's candidacy is drawing the most reactionary elements of the capitalist class to Cleveland. Their agenda is war, racism, raids, and austerity. In mid-July, thousands of activists from across the country who have mobilized to shut down Trump's vicious agenda will join hands with people of Cleveland who are determined to resist the right-wing RNC extravaganza. It goes on to say Cleveland is notorious for racist police murders, and it itemizes that we must go beyond protest. We need fundamental change against this criminal capitalist system. And they're calling for violence. They want to shut down the RNC. That is their goal. So this is a right of a free people to assemble and to choose a candidate. And this is very, very dangerous when they talk about shutting the whole thing down. And we're seeing glimpses of it now. We saw it in Dallas yesterday. God, help those policemen and their families, and give our police everywhere the courage, and good men of all colors and stripes, the courage to stand up and do what's right. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What's at stake in this election? a lot.
From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
It's 2 a.m., and Tommy's raspy cough has become a horrible-sounding bark. You can go rushing into the night with your little one for an ER visit, or you can teleconference with a board-certified pediatrician to evaluate Tommy, give you advice, and write a prescription if necessary. MD Live is a network of board-certified physicians available anytime and anywhere. Information about MD Live is available at hcbenefits.com. hcbenefits.com.
My name is Alex McFarland, and I'm excited about co-hosting Exploring the Word because we're getting people into the Scriptures every day. We're studying the Bible together, we're taking questions, and we don't shy away from the tough questions and the challenging passages of Scripture either. And what excites me the most are the emails I get from listeners across America who say, thanks to Exploring the Word, now I'm reading my Bible every day.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on AFR Talk.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife Melanie will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and two nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The run-up to sniper-executed assassinations of police officers in Dallas saw more pretexts for violence against them. In Louisiana and Minnesota, cops are under investigation for excessive use of force resulting in the death of two black men. Such incidents are particularly ominous as the Republican convention looms in Cleveland. Donald Trump's candidacy has already been met with violent disruptions, and there's every reason to expect more in Ohio. No justice, no peace is the victimhood narrative being used by some to justify and possibly incite insurrection. That's in part because of the announced intention of Black Lives Matter operatives, Occupy Movement anarchists, and Islamic supremacists to collaborate in what is being openly discussed as revolution in America. If such forces are ignored until they act on that threatening agenda, there surely will be no peace, whether there is justice or not. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails, either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true. There were a small number of portion markings on, I think, three of the documents.
Secretary Clinton said I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
Now, there was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned. Well, certainly she should have known not to send classified information. And as I said, that's the definition of negligent. I think she was extremely careless. I think she was negligent. That I could establish. What we can't establish is that she acted with the necessary criminal intent.
Interestingly enough, that was Trey Gowdy and James Comey, director of the FBI, in that hearing yesterday. Interestingly enough, WikiLeaks has just reported this morning that actually in the first year that Clinton was the Secretary of State, 23,035 cables were sent to her using the C for classified. 23,035 cables were sent to her marked classified. I'm guessing maybe she's not telling the truth. What do you think? I want to just briefly mention a couple of things. I've gotten some very interesting email and Facebook posts, and I do read them all, although you know it's impossible. It's impossible for me to get back to. Many of you would like for me to, and I just, if I could, I would. That's all I can say. And I can't respond to all of them either, but I do read them. I want to respond to a couple of things. We had several postings. This happens all the time. I hate to even waste our time saying this. You're a real piece of work urging Trump supporters to shoot protesters with AR-15s. Worse things than that. And they're referring to an article by Right Wing Watch claiming that I said that people should arm themselves with AR-15s to shoot at a Trump rally. They should take AR-15s and shoot people. And of course, that's ridiculous. And I have to say, to those of you monitoring this show for Right Wing Watch, you know, you usually are so much more clever with your words. You know, if you're trying to put words in my mouth or distort things that I say, you're usually much better at that. So I don't know who did this one, but you kind of botched it, because that's, of course, ridiculous. And I'm not going to spend any more time responding to that. And it's a shame, you know. I wish the people that weigh in, they're so upset. They tweet. They go, oh, how dare she? She calls herself. They get so upset because they don't listen, of course. And actually, if they went to the Right Wing Watch blog and actually listened to the clip they provided, I'll hand it to Right Wing Watch. At least they provide a clip so you can listen to see what was actually said. But most people don't bother with that. They read the headlines. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. It's really stupidity. It honestly is. And so that's the end of that. Enough of that. Too much of it, actually. All right, let's go to the phones because I want to talk to Kathy in Ohio. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Sandy. The reason I called this morning is because I've been a little heartbroken over an experience I had at the 4th of July parade in one of the communities around this area. My granddaughter was a part of it, so I went. I haven't gone in many years, but as the parade started, they started out with a band. There was no flag. There were no veterans. I'm not even sure there was patriotic music. And I waited, and the advertising trucks go by, and they toss out candy. The politicians go by. They toss out their stuff. And we waited, and we waited. And my daughter said, perhaps, you know, they'll end the parade. And we waited, and nothing. It ended. And it was so heartbreaking. We saw these people all at once. Once people scrambling, kids scrambling for candy. And this is the birth of our nation. America has forgotten. I don't know how many other parades were like that. I did get in the name of the parade organizer. I confronted him about it. I shamed him because I believe that he needed to be shamed. And I'm not accusing him that he did it deliberately. It's just an indication of America has forgotten.
Well, I think listen, Kathy, could I interject? Let me just say right offhand, because I can tell you got a tender heart. Like me, I have one too, but get tough, because they meant to do that. So, you know, I think Christians are going to have to get a little harder, a little tougher, and not be quite so forgiving. I'm not picking on you. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying get tough. Give him the what for and don't feel bad about it. And because this is in Ohio, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
yes.
I, you know, yesterday, and think about this is in a vacuum, wonder what's going to come in. Well, maybe places like the Fairfield Inn in Avon, Ohio, are going to fire their clerks when they get nervous about being afraid that an Islamist is in the lobby who's kind of causing trouble and has a disposable phone and is in Arab garb and demanding rooms that aren't available. So this girl calls and they fire her. This is what happens in a vacuum of understanding what the country represents, understanding what our freedoms are. And by the way, somebody gave me the number to that Fairfield Inn yesterday, and I'm going to share it. It's 440-934-7445. 440-934-7445. For any of you in Ohio who want to call them and say, you need to reinstate that clerk. Shame on you. And the police now are thinking, yes, of course, of arresting her. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, and I also walked into a supermarket a few weeks ago and picked up some meat that said halal on it. Yeah. And I confronted the meat manager, and he said, well, they've been selling it, yes. And I said, look, I've about had it. I am tired of being treated like a second-class citizen. This is America. I've had it. We've been put down. We have been submissive, and we've been told that they've been accused of being Islamophobic. And I said, that's not it. I said, read the mandatory, what was it, Sandy, memorandum.
Exploratory memorandum, which is on our Facebook page.
Right. And you will see what's happening in this country. And we are like sheep, like those people scrambling for the candy. They want the candy. They don't want the truth. They don't want freedom anymore. My husband and I have considered building a float for next year. And an American freedom, let freedom, God bless America, and passing out constitutions.
I think that's a great idea. See, you know what, Kathy? I have to say, you have really struck upon something. I've shared this. This is a silly story, so allow me to tell it very quickly. I was when I was much younger, I was in the middle of a church dispute, and my life used to be, I was so involved in the church before I had some sort of a ministry that took me out and away, and I poured my life into it. And so the church was in trouble, was a lot of disputes and turmoil, and I wasn't sleeping, I was worried sick, and I was praying, you know, I was talking a lot about the problems and not doing much. And I prayed about it, and I felt that God said to me, do something, do something. And when I got up from that prayer, I actually got on the phone and I recruited, I think, 6 men who were really good men to run for elder. They ran, they won, and the thing was turned around. You know what? And it did so much for my mental health, because I, instead of complaining and worrying and wringing my hands, I did something, and it was a good thing to do. Kathy, that's a good thing to do. So that would probably help you. And it would, and you know, it's in this kind of inspiration is contagious. We just need to not give up, not stop speaking. Let's see if we can win this war of words, because we're not silenced yet. But I think it is coming. If we cow down now, it's going to get worse.
Yes.
Kathy, where are you from in Ohio? Can you say?
I'm from Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
Okay, Reynoldsburg. All right.
It's outside Columbus. Outside Columbus.
Okay. All right. Listen, God bless you, Kathy, and go forth and make that float.
Well, God.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Kathy. All right. Let's go to Rick in Memphis. Good morning, Rick.
Hi. I've been listening for a while, and this is the first time I was able to get through. I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you, Rick. Me too.
Yes. Yeah, I was very impressed with your guest, also, Mr. Adams, Kristen Adams.
Yes.
In fact, I was looking at the title of his book. Just the title of his book would get the average liberal up in arms. The injustice.
Yeah.
The injustice.
Yeah. So, Rick, what's on your mind? Say your important thing this morning, because we're running out of time.
All right. My question was, one of the things that he said was, if this was a calculated effort that happened in Texas, then why was there a suicides involved among the shooters? And if that be the case, are we dealing with Muslims who believe that they're going to have extra benefits in their heaven because of they're doing God a
service. Yeah, no, it's a good question, Rick. And of course, we don't know yet unless they revealed something while I've been on the air here. We don't know. But I told you earlier that we know that the Palestinians activists have been working with Black Lives Matter. So it's possible. You know, we'll see how this thing develops today. Thank you so much for listening and for calling. Let's go to Todd in Baton Rouge, where the shooting took place a couple of days ago. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Sandy. I'm just calling to tell you that my cousin was killed, Jefferson Parish police officer in Louisiana. And I know what these people in Dallas are going through, because I'm going through it right now. But what I want to say is this country, we need to turn back to God. If we don't, you have what you have. You have somebody taking his place, which is Satan. And if we don't address this in our churches, in our communities, in our schools, you just have what you have. Yeah. We have to face the facts. This country's turning against God, and our government's letting that happen. All right, when we separated church and state, what did we actually do? We didn't do nothing. We need to turn back to the Lord. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, sister. Yeah. Have a good day.
Yeah, Todd, thank you. And I'm really sorry about your cousin. And there are so many grieving people. You know, they're grieving people for those two Black men who were killed in the last few days. This is about sin and destruction, the destroyer, Satan, the destroyer. It's about him. He is the force behind all of this. A lot of people helping him, you know, cooperating with him, even if they don't know it. The same spirit of death drives them all. I know the Muslim Brotherhood's saying is we love death more than they love life. Yeah, so there's a common bond here, and it's the destruction of humanity, the destruction of systems, lawlessness. And the man of lawlessness, you know, is, I don't know if the Bible indicates he's Satan or if it's the, you know, the Antichrist. It's maybe not too clear, but we all know what the spirit is. We recognize it. We're seeing it right now. I'm going to go back to the phones in just a second, but I want to tell you while I have a minute here that I will be gone next week. But in my place, it's going to be a great lineup. Todd Starnes is going to be filling in for me. Fred Jackson will also. On one day, you're going to hear Sebastian Gorka, who's an expert in national security. He's that big British dude who's an expert on warfare, and he's great. Sam Sorbo, the wife of Kevin Sorbo, she came into the studio, beautiful actress, but she is a talk show host herself in California. Very strong Christian who homeschools her children, and so you'll want to hear that too. That's going to be next Friday. So those are the things you have to look forward to. And then when I'm back at the mic a week from Monday, I will be in Cleveland at the convention, God willing, and we'll be there in the midst of all that chaos, and I'll be coming to you live every single morning. So that's kind of the lineup here. All right, let me go to Bob in Missouri. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would like to say that Jesus threw the thieves out of the temple, and if we want a change, we have got to throw the politicians that will not protect us out of Washington, D.C.
That's a good point, Bob. I agree with you. And when it comes to the down ballot races, there are still some primaries left. Please see who the people of character are who are running in your community and support them. Bob, thank you so much. All right. Well, so much to say. I had something else I was going to tell you, but it went right out of my head. I appreciate your prayers. Many of you say that you pray for me, and I do appreciate that. But we're all in this together, and I would just say, be of good courage. You know, remember, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid, and do courageous things today, and let's fight back. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.